Our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Pastor Arthur and I were talking this week, and when I mentioned that I would be preaching from this particular passage today, he shared with me a little bit about a play called Lazarus Laughed that I had not heard of before. So I looked into it a little bit. The play is by Eugene O'Neill, and it tells the story of what might have happened to Lazarus after he was raised from the tomb, after being dead some 4 days. In the play, O'Neill imagines that after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he came out laughing and joyful. And when he was asked what being dead was like, Lazarus tells everyone that all he remembers was being alive here one moment and there the next. And there was where the one who had created him was. This laughing Lazarus then moves through life with the knowledge that death, as today's passage puts it, has no sting. His joy is contagious. His view and his perspective has changed, and the whole community is changed because of his laughing, joyful, and very generous attitude. And in the play, the Romans don't like this laughing Lazarus and his impact on his community. The Romans, you see, maintained control and power through intimidation. How else do you explain those public crucifixions? And the Romans see that Lazarus is not intimidated anymore. And they try to get him to stop laughing, but he won't. And they arrest him. And they send him from one official to the next, each one higher than the one before, trying to convince him to stop laughing. Eventually, he ends up in Rome before the emperor, but he still won't stop laughing, even when threatened with death. Because, of course, Lazarus knew that there was no death, only life. Now, this is a fictional imagining of what might have happened after Lazarus was raised from the dead, but it does sound like a very plausible reaction, doesn't it? I can definitely imagine that Lazarus would have found today's passage resonated with him and what he knew to be true. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? These beautiful rhetorical questions are the high point of today's passage, one that is, for very obvious reasons, a popular funeral scripture. It is in those moments of mourning that words like these have true bearing on the lives of those left behind, don't you think? When we are standing here and our loved ones are there, that is when we think about the mystery of it all. That is when we think about the mystery and when we truly consider this promise of eternal life and what it means. But these words of Paul's were not written for a funeral any more than the words of 1 Corinthians 13 were written for a wedding. They are both appropriate for those situations, but that's not what Paul was writing about. Paul is writing here to the church in Corinth that he helped to start, and he is getting close to wrapping up his letter. He has given them practical advice about issues that he knows that they are having, and throughout the entire letter, he has encouraged them to be a community unified in Christ through the working of the shared Holy Spirit. And here, as he wraps up the letter, what he is doing in these particular verses is he's bridging from this long discourse about the gospel of the resurrection. He's bridging from there to day-to-day life. You see, at the end of most of the letters that you will find in the New Testament, you'll see a variety of closing exhortations or urgings from the authors to the churches or the individuals they are writing to. It's kind of their opportunity to underscore the important points that they've made throughout the letters. So here Paul is getting ready to pivot to that portion of his letter, and we see one of those urgings right there at the end of today's passage. An exhortation to labor for the Lord. And he has even connected this reminder to the beauty and the promise of victory over death by that all-important connecting word, therefore. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It's beautiful. Be steadfast, immovable. Laugh in the face of intimidation, fear, doubt, persecution, dissension, disputes, troubles. Be steadfast, immovable. But this does not mean to hole up and hunker down and wait for the final trumpet to sound. That was not what Paul did. Paul faced all sorts of trouble in his life as he went about doing God's work. And that is exactly what he exhorts the Corinthian church to do and for us to do today. Be steadfast, immovable, excelling in the work of the Lord. Be about God's business. Make disciples, teach, preach, encourage, minister, baptize, correct, sharpen, grow, love. Do all God's work, for it is not in vain. No, it is not in vain that we labor for God and neighbor. May we never be discouraged from doing God's work together. Even when we have disputes and disagreements among us, we can still be united in our mission to the world. That will never, ever be in vain. One body, one love, one gospel, one church, one mission. That is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians about. That is who he encouraged them to be. And that is what he calls us to be today. One. We are called by God to be one. One for his glory, one in Christ's name, one empowered by the shared Holy Spirit. So now I want to close today. Instead of me offering a prayer, you should have found in your bulletin an insert. This is a prayer that has been distributed to all United Methodist churches. And they have asked that we all say this prayer together today in worship. As the General Conference is taking place now in St. Louis, and there are 864 delegates with a particular labor at hand. So I invite you all now to do whatever feels right to you. You may wish to hold hands with those in your pew. You may wish to join hands with everyone here. You may wish to come to the altar rail to pray. But let us join our voices together as one. Gracious and loving God, who leads, teaches, and guides, you who offer compassion, grace, and mercy, be with us now. We passionately seek your presence during challenging times and circumstances, and we trust that you are moving in and around our lives. We, as one part of your body, the church, go into the days and weeks ahead, seeking to discern your deep desire for us as the United Methodist Church. Give us courage as we continue to live and respond to your invitation to be your hands, feet, and voice. We ask for a fresh wind of your Spirit and guidance for each of us as individuals, for the faithful congregations, and for this global community of United Methodists. We ask for your wisdom and presence for those among us who have been called to serve as delegates as the special session of General Conference gathers today. Grant them clarity and a discerning spirit as they seek to listen for you in their midst. Reveal to them your deep desire for our future as a church. Give them and us the faith to lay aside our personal wants and needs so that we can be truly present to you, sit with you in reverence and awe, and listen deeply for the still small voice that woos us, comforts us, and invites us to that place where we can live fully and wholly into the kingdom life that you desire for us. We lay all this before you as the deep desire of our hearts and minds in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.